I'm glad I'm around Pentecostal folk. I love all folks, amen. I love the Baptists, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians. But I love my Pentecostal family. Been around Pentecostal folks all my life. I love worshiping with you. I love praising the Lord with you. I love preaching and teaching and just magnifying the Lord with the people of God. I appreciate your worship tonight. I'm going to preach for a little while tonight on a mind that's made up. I'm preaching about being double-minded, and I know that wouldn't be anybody here. But we gotta get our minds made up. The Bible clearly teaches we're either in this thing or we're not. Come on. We're either child. I know most time on a Sunday night I can get away with this. But a lot of center folk don't want to hear. The Bible is clear. It teaches that if you're either saved or your daddy's God or your father's God or your father's the devil. There's no in between. No riding the fence. It's either get in. Come on. Yes, it is. Let's get in here. Let's give it all that we can do. Amen. I'm going to read verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, James chapter 1. Let him ask of God and that give it to all men liberally. This is a prayer of mine every day of my life. God grant me the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding how to lead your great church. Because without it, I'm in a mess. And upbraid if not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let that man or that woman ask in faith. Here's where made up mind comes. Nothing wavering. Come on, church. He's either God or he ain't. Right? He's either God or he ain't. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man better wake up to think that he's going to receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Father, we've reached a critical point of the service to our online community and church and those that are listening live and those here and those that are listening in the future. We have an opportunity one more time to hear the word of the Lord, the bread of life broken. We have an opportunity to accept it and apply it to our lives or to ignore it at our own demise. So tonight, Lord, I pray you open ears and eyes, hearts of understanding to receive what you have for us tonight. And God, so importantly for me, and God, that you would anoint me and hide me behind the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Let me speak tonight one more time, God, with an unction from the Holy One. Let me speak as the Old Testament prophets, as an oracle of God. Let me speak the words that you have, Lord, and we'll be careful to praise you. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you tonight. We appreciate and love you. Thanks to our praise team and choir and musicians and leading us in the worship of the Lord, amen. And I know my voice is racked out, amen. But if I'm going to give out and wear out, I'm going to do it for the Lord, amen. I don't know any other way but full speed. I hit a couple of sour notes in the choir, and Lindsay and Annika turned around with smiles on their face in shock, thinking, what are you doing bellowing up here behind us? I said, well, the next time I hit a sour note, y'all just keep staring ahead. Come on and say amen. I don't know about you, but whether I hit a sour note or not, I'm going to keep singing for the Lord. Amen. It sounds good to me. Songs of Zion, lifting up our voice. Amen. You blessed people that can sing, bless your hearts. We love y'all and appreciate that. Brother Kenny, you've done an amazing job this morning and tonight leading us in worship and singing. I appreciate that. Everybody that puts in the effort they do to lead us into worship. Isn't it just good to be around the people of God singing and worshiping? Come on and say amen. Don't get so complacent. Don't get so complacent that we don't want to forget how good we got it. God's good to us. We got a great church. The Lord is blessed. We're not the only church. I know that. Amen. But let me tell you something. We got a good church, and the Lord blesses us. And he showed, why don't we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise in his house for who he is and what he is tonight. Let me preach for a little while. A voice will hang in there. Amen. I want to talk about having a mind made up. And you would think, now, Brother Bateman, on a Sunday night, and you got your core and you got your good folks that come back. And, you know, we realize this has been going on, I don't know, from the dawn of time. But every church I pastor, every church I've ever attended, every pastor that I know that pastors that still has a Sunday night service, you lose almost half of your people. We do a little bit better than that, I guess. And I thank you for coming. You love God. Amen. And it's amazing. We were at a conference last year sometime, and they asked, there was about 100 preachers, pastors and preachers in the building, and they asked, how many of you pastors still have a Sunday night service? And if Sister Kim will correct me, I think it was no more than 3 or 4 out of 100 pastors in the Church of God in Eastern North Carolina that were able to raise. There were some other churches represented. I think some Church of God of Prophecies and Pentecostal Free Will Baptist. But about 3 to 4 maybe churches were still having church on Sunday night. Let me tell you something. I'm not here to criticize those that don't. I'm not. I promise you. I'm not here to throw stones. Amen. But I don't know about you. As I see that day approaching, I want us to come together as much as possible. Possible and serve God and love God. Come on, somebody, amen. I know I talk to some of my peers, my pastor friends, and they tell me, Brother Bateman, I'd have service, but they just won't come back. People have turned. People see, their mind is not made up. Doesn't mean, listen, I'm not saying because people don't come back on Sunday night, they're not saying. Let me tell you something right now. When we see the world that we live in, when we understand the day and the hour that is approaching, when we know that right at the very precipice of history, what we're about to look at, what is about to come down the pipe, my God, I want to be in the house of the Lord around the people of God, praising God. Because, you know, I'd love to be in a good old Sunday night, Holy Ghost, down, and the trump of God would sound. The dead in Christ will rise. We already shouting and we already praising. Amen. I'm telling you right now, my mind is made up. Amen. We must become steadfast and single-minded. We must become to a place, amen, that we're single-minded, that we're steadfast in what we believe and who we are, amen, and what we believe that God can do. I'm telling you, we cannot allow circumstances to determine what we stand for and what we believe. I'll get to my message, I hope, at some point. You know, it takes a made-up mind to serve the Lord. There's a song, I don't know if we sing it here, I got my mind made up to serve the Lord. Now, I used to sing that at my second church. We do it about 375 miles per hour. Come on here. I got my mind made up to serve the Lord, amen. And it's time that we declare with the words of our mouth, amen, that what, no matter what comes, no matter what we face, amen, no matter whether or not the prayer is answered or whether God says yes or God says no, my mind is steadfast. My face is like a flint, amen. I'm determined, amen. I'm single-minded that I'm going to serve God come what may. Would you say amen? Now, this was a wonderful illustration. App just came to me very recently, by the way. Now, won't even plan on using it tonight. I had a dear friend, I won't mention names or locations, a wonderful man of God, a dear pastor friend. And he got sick and he got diagnosed with cancer. And I'm telling you, this church, it's a holiness church now. These old-time holiness people that knew how to get a hold of God. And they went to fasting and they went to praying and they went to seeking God. And it was a long battle. And it was drawn out. And the Lord, in his sovereignty, come on, y'all know what I mean. Can I give you a Gary Bateman definition of what sovereignty is? God's boss all by himself. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it, irregardless of what we say or think. Is that all right? Amen. He's sovereign. He's in control. And God took this blessed, precious man, and over the prayers of many of the people, over the fasting, over the travail, all-night prayer meetings that took place in the church. And what happened was that the people said, God, let God be God. Come on here now. They understood. They loved that man. He left behind a wife. He left behind children and grandchildren. Amen. But the church didn't have but one choice, and that was their mind was made up that though our leader, though our pastor is gone, we're going to keep on serving God, because our God is not based, our faith is not based in the fact whether or not God healed that man on earth or he didn't. Our faith is based, single-minded, steadfast, is that there is a God in heaven, amen, who chooses to do. He says that one lives and that one dies, but he's telling the church, amen, no matter what I do, I'm still God, and I'm looking for some people whose mind is made up to serve the Lord. If that's you tonight, would you lift a holy hand and say, my mind is made up. This man's precious daughter, she played bass in the church and very involved in ministry in the church, and she gave up and she backslid on the Lord. Grown woman and children and husband still going to church and children still attending church, and sometimes the children will pull on the heartstrings of mama and she'll come back to church, but she's struggling like we all do. Y'all help me now. Why bad things happen to good people. I believe the husband told me, he said she's struggling with why would God take a healthy man, a seemingly healthy man that loves God, is serving God and doing all of these things for the work of the ministry, and take him home and let some of these other wicked scoundrels live. And I told that man, I said, if she finds the answer to that question, you call my number and let me know, and I'll write it down so I can share it. But can I help somebody tonight and help me? There is not an answer that we'll find on this side of life. But what we can do, amen, is like again Job said, though you slay me, yet will I serve him. Amen. He never saw a Bible. He never went to a synagogue or a temple. He never heard a message preached like you and I've heard thousands of messages preached, amen. But he was looking out beyond the written word before it was ever written. He looked beyond and could say this to those that were around him and said that I know that my Redeemer lived. You and I, we've got the blessed book from front to cover. We've got preaching every week. We've got it on the internet. We've got books and books and books. We've got the sets and CDs and whatever else they have out here. Somebody's always declaring that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We sing songs of Zion. We come to church every week, amen. But it seems, amen, that we've always got to be prodded to hang on, to hold on. I've come by to tell you hold on and hang on, but go ahead tonight and make up your mind, amen, and say, I know that my Redeemer lives, amen. It does not matter what comes my way. It does not matter what I face, amen. There still is a God in heaven, Jehovah God. You rule and reign. Somebody give the Lord praise in his house. And I'm praying. I told that man, I'll pray for your wife. And I know these people very, very closely. I've known them. Matter of fact, I attended the funeral of that preacher years ago. I don't have that answer. Enoch never saw a Bible. Enoch was, I know he's a direct descendant of Noah. And he had lived a long time. And the Bible says that he was walking. He had such a wonderful relationship with the Lord. I love what it said. The Bible said, and he was not. God said, man, I love you. Never had to see. We got to understand this. We got to understand these men walk by faith, and not by sight. Never had an opportunity. Look, never. Come on here, help me a minute. Never was in a Holy Ghost filled Pentecostal service. Sister Lillian never has enjoyed the decades that you have worshiping and serving the Lord. Amen. I went over to Brother Adam Fulge on Easter Sunday afternoon. He was down there in Bellhaven, a little church. Amen. He let me know he was going to be there. I rolled up in there Sunday afternoon. Look, there was Sister Lillian Jonathan sitting. I sit right beside him. We worshiped the Lord. Amen. You know, most people went home and ate and took a nap. We were ready to worship the Lord. We are so blessed. Come on here. We're so blessed we get to hear gospel preaching and gospel singing and worship and praise, amen. We get to feel the moving of the Spirit, all of these things that we have at our disposal, and we're constantly trying to encourage people. Well, bless your heart. Keep on. This mentality is in society now. They're called snowflakes. Has anybody heard? Come on, help me. So I'm preaching to the choir. Everybody heard that? Not snowflakes that fall. Is people that are so easily offended. They got to have a safe space. They got to have, matter of fact, our universities have safe spaces. Grown people, they got to have a place. There are safe places where no white people are allowed, because it is reserved for people of color. That sounds like reverse discrimination. Then there are safe spaces where there are, you can't talk about religion, or you know, there are safe spaces for those who identify from a different sex, if you will, from the gender that God gave them at birth. Y'all gonna help me here? There are safe places because people are so easily offended, and that culture has slipped into the church. Amen. We don't want nobody to preach something hard enough, amen, that might shape us up, that might get us in line. See, I come from the old school, amen. They liked it when the man of God or the woman got up and busted somebody's hide. Y'all ain't gonna help me here. They liked it, amen, when somebody stomped down on their foot, that got right down to where they were living, amen, and it brought conviction, amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, when I go here preaching or I'm in a church service, I open myself up and say, God, here I am. You know my innermost being. You know my thoughts. If my way don't line up with your way, Lord, I want you to help me to get on the right track. Have I got any help tonight, amen? You can't preach hard enough to hurt my feelings, amen. I'm telling you, it's a highway to holiness, and none can walk up there but the pure in heart. My mind is made up. I'm going to serve him until I die. Come on and say amen. See, I'm telling you tonight that this mentality has crept in to the Western church. See, the churches that are in China and churches in Muslim countries where your life can be snuffed out in a moment because of what you believe. Those people don't fight over the color of the carpet. They don't fight over what songs that, y'all ain't gonna help me here, songs that they sing. My God, I'm just glad you can sing. I'm just glad, I'm glad they tear out pages of the Bible. I'm not going to tear my Bible out, but just one page is precious. It's passed around, and those blessed people take one page of the Bible and memorize it as a group, and they memorize it, and then they pass it on to somebody. Look, this goes on, and they meet in secret, huddled behind a door, making sure they're not too loud. Here we are. In the house of God, in a free country, able to worship God. I'm telling you right now, I'm tired of coming to church. I'm not throwing stones at you at all. I'm not going to be, y'all going to think I am, but I ain't. But I'm tired of going to church with a bunch of deadheads. If anything is dead, it ought to be buried. Come on here. I'm tired of getting around people, amen, that act like they ain't got nothing to rejoice about, amen. Your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. You're on your way to heaven. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've been saved, sanctified, filled with heaven, sweet Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. You can walk in victory over the power of the devil. Come on now, amen. We got a lot to worship and praise him for. My mind is made up. Y'all can turn around at me and look at me in the choir when I sing a sour note. And as rough as I'm sounding right now, all the probably going to be pretty bad. And I don't care. Y'all help me now. My mind is made up. I'm going to sing. Somebody, well, preacher, I think I've shared this. My dad's, well, let me be careful in case they see it online. I got some first cousins, and when they found out I was preaching, my first cousin asked me, she said, "You ain't one of them that's got to shout and get all emotional and get all loud." Kind of made me feel just for a second. She said, I just don't think it takes all of that. I said, honey, let me tell you something. Our grandmama, amen, Agatha the Bateman down at the Plymouth Church of God, amen, won't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and won't ashamed to shout, won't ashamed to worship. And I'm telling you right now, whether I had a tradition or a history in the Church of God, and I do, but thank God, but whether or not I had one or you don't have a history or a heritage, amen, you still got a breath in your body. And the Bible said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord, amen. And when I preach, I'm going to preach with passion. When I preach, I'm going to preach with emotion, amen. Because I know when God touches human flesh, amen, something gives, amen. I tell you, I know he lives, amen. I know God is real because I can feel him way down in my soul. If you can feel the Lord tonight, say amen. I got a good buddy of mine. He ain't Pentecostal no more. I don't know what's wrong with him. He was in the Pentecostal church for 30 years, and he left. Now he's going to another church. I won't name it, but he's doing good, serving the Lord. And I, every time I talk to him, I said, man, when you going to come and be with us at Alley Good? He said, what you preaching? I said, I'm going to preach on, do you feel what I feel? That's a joke between me and him. Do you feel? So when I called him, I said, Mike. Oh, I shouldn't have said his name. I said, Mike, you know what I'm preaching on tonight? He said, yeah. Do you feel what I feel, honey? Let me come out and tell the church, amen. God deposited a sweet Holy Ghost in me, amen, about 32 years ago. It filled me. It set me on the right path, amen. And it gave me a determination in my spirit, amen. I've had ups and I've had downs. I've been in a little bit and I've almost gotten out, amen. I've been struck down, talked about, drugged through the mud, amen. I've been discouraged, broke, busted, and disgusted. But I made my mind up 32 years ago. I'm going to serve him until the day that I die. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. One more time. All right, 20-minute introduction. You ready? Only one has to look at the Word of God to see double-mindedness has plagued the people of God. We take it from the very beginning, Adam and Eve. Surely, if you eat of this tree, you'll die. Surely, we've heard the Word of God preached. I never thought I'd see the day, but I am surrounded, not here. Now, thank God, let me go on record. As far as I know, in this church, from the history of this church, and right now, we do not believe in drinking. Well, at least half of you don't. We do not. We are teetotalers. That is a fancy word that means we abstain from alcohol in any form or fashion. That's us. I ain't going to argue. I will. But I ain't right now. But I've never seen so many people in this last day that wanna claim to be Christians and still wanna drink alcohol. I know I'm gonna get some kickback online for this. I don't get no kickback here. Because if y'all drinking them, we got a special line right over here. You know, you vote for Joe Biden, you drink alcohol, that's on this side. Folks say, I'm just missing. And I'm surrounded by people. And I told them, I said, look, I understand, listen, that one sip, one teaspoon, there's more alcohol in NyQuil than there is if you drank a whole beer, from what I understand. There's more alcohol in that one little scoop. But I ain't never met nobody that drank one sip of whiskey. Right? And I ain't never met anybody. I know that one half ounce or teaspoon or thimbleful of beer or whiskey, I know that wouldn't do anything to your body. It wouldn't change your mind. It wouldn't alter your consciousness. But I never met anybody. Come on here. I never met nobody that just drank a thimbleful of whiskey. Okay, that's it. I've had all I wanted. Pretty much the ones I had, they had a big thimble. And then they drank until perverse utterings come out of their mouths. Come on here. The eyes started shifting and looking at things that they shouldn't say. They started speaking things they had no business saying. Let me tell you something right now. This is not a sermon that I'm preaching against alcohol, but what I'm preaching against, amen, I want my mind to be clear. I don't want to put anything. I don't want to smoke anything, take anything, drink anything that might cause me, amen, to sin against the great God of heaven. I want my mind to be clear. I want to put on the mind of Christ. I want to hear the Spirit of the Lord when it talks to me. I don't want anything to dull my senses. Now, what has all that got to do with being double-minded? Because what happens when we allow things of this world to cloud our mind? Adam and Eve, God said, don't partake of that. And the devil said, oh, you won't die. You surely won't die. And yet there they are, faced with the monumental decision that brought sin into humankind. The very, this ought to help us and ought to scare us. The very first two humans that ever lived could not make up their mind. They could not decide whether or not God is God or this serpent telling them something was the truth. They couldn't make up their mind. And from the very beginning, humankind, human nature has always been that way. Look. But not so to the people of God. We are going to steadfastly declare in this altar tonight, amen, that we are going to serve God with all of our heart, our strength, our mind, and our soul and our spirit. Somebody say amen. The children of Israel, just a few more minutes, bear with me. Children of Israel left Egypt. I wrote here that they had everything that they needed. They had provision. Come on, somebody say provision. That's God providing for us. He said, don't worry. He even tells us in the New Testament, don't worry about tomorrow. I feed the sparrows. I clothe the ground. Hey, come on here. I'm going to look. He said, don't even worry about tomorrow. Every time I go get some bread, I have to go down to Food Line or wherever. I've never had manna flow down from heaven. But my Bible says that God took care of 3+ million people. Some say it was more. He fed them every day for 40 years. Come on and say amen. Bread from heaven. What is this? Manna, what is this bread from heaven? I don't know about you, but I believe it was delicious. I believe you could have fried it up, made it like cornbread. I believe you could have rolled it up and made a biscuit. I believe you could have formed it up and it looked like a cake. I believe you could have rolled it up like a hot dog. I don't know. But I know that for 40 years, God rained down provision. God, give them clothes that would not rot. Give them shoes. See, we really gloss over this so much because we've heard it all our lives. But the same God that took care of them takes care of us today. And the same God that provided for them, it's the same God that speaks today in 2024 and says, "What can I not take care of you?" That's, we see it all the time in the church. While things are going good, people will show up, but let a little trouble, a little trial, a little situation come to knock them down a notch or two, and they become double-minded. Is God helping me or is God not? Amen. I'm telling you, God, I believe that God is sick and tired of looking down at double-minded people. And this is what I believe this means here. He said, let not that man think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. You can go to the cabinet and say, I don't believe we have that here at the church. But if we do, let us know, and we'll get something in there, amen. But we go to the cabinets, and they're full. We go to the refrigerators, and they're full. We our lights are turned on. There's a roof over our head. There's a bed that we lay in, amen. And somehow, some way, we forget that the God of heaven has provided everything that we've needed on this side of life. And how much more, amen. I don't care if you don't have the money to pay your bills tomorrow. I don't know if they're talking about coming to get your car or whatever, but I can tell you this. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust a God that saved us, kept us, and watched over us, amen, who is able, amen, to open up the heavens and rain down manna on 3 million children of Israel for 40 years, and their bellies were never empty. Come on, somebody, and say amen. Were double-minded because God had given them provision and God gave them providence. He watched over them, and yet they grumbled. You say, I'm glad we're not like them. Look, this book is picture perfect clear of human nature. Come on here. I've pastored people. Run the aisle. I'm not going to tell on nobody here. I'll wait to I'm old and retired, and I'll get invited somewhere. I'll be 80 years old, and I'll be preaching over there at the back somewhere. I said, boy, that crowded alley good. I will. I promise you that, but I won't do it now. But I can tell you this. I've pastored people. They run these aisles. They jumped, and they rolled, and they shouted. But the first sign, adversity, they questioned God. First sign of something going awry. First sign of somebody offending them. Look, let's get this straight here tonight before I move on any further. You're a human being, and your feelings can be hurt, and you can be emotionally touched and damaged, and I get that. You might say something ugly to me before you leave here, amen, and I'll say, I'm sorry. I wish I hadn't hurt you, and I will mean it. I get back into my office, I'm going, woo! I'm not doing that to be arrogant. I'm not doing that, but I'm going to be who God's called me to be. Whether you come on here, whether you're mad with me or happy, amen, that don't change God. Whether you don't like me or do like me, amen. Whether you like my preaching or don't like my preaching, whether you don't like my wife, wait a minute, or you don't like her, we still going to serve the Lord. Our mind is, come on here. I'm talking just a few more minutes. And we see it all throughout the Bible. I'm trying to close. I promise I am. Children of Israel, yet they grumble. What's wrong with people? Don't be like that. Don't grumble. We don't have anything to complain. Not a thing, sister, to complain to God about. All my life, He has been faithful. All my life, He has been good to me. Every breath, I wish I could say. I got no reason to grumble or complain. I'm moving on. We go to Elijah. Let's go to Joshua first. Y'all know the story, 1 Kings chapter. Let me go to Joshua first. I'm sorry. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua's getting ready to transition. They've inherited the promised land. It's a time, it's a season of transition. He's been through a season before, hadn't he? Moses left this world and Joshua took over, and Joshua realizes what's going to happen. And he understood. He's been with this crowd. Come on here. He's been with them. For 40 years, he's watched every grumbler and rebellious person. He buried them. He went to 40 years worth of funerals. Grumblers and complainers, rebellious, when they had the promise of God. Come on here, Caleb and Joshua, just make up your mind. 10 spies, why did 10 see something and the other two didn't? I don't know. And I can tell you this, I believe Joshua and Caleb knew what the promises of God were, and it didn't matter what they saw. And this Joshua, he's got his children, grandchildren possibly around him. And he says, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I've made very unpopular decisions. Come on here. Since I've been a parent, I've made decisions that my children have bowed up because it was not popular. I made decisions based on what I felt like that I needed to do to protect them. I didn't ask them to be happy. I didn't ask them, amen. I made a decision because I'm like Joshua, for it's me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord around here. In the Bateman household, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not perfect. I'm not trying to present that we're perfect. God forbid that you think that your mind is, you're in the wrong way right now. I'm just telling you. But you've got to make these declarations like Joshua has and says, for me and my, we're not going to be double-minded. I'm not going to be picking up manna on the Sabbath. God said, don't store it because I'm going to give you enough in 6 days. Come on here. Leftover manna. So Joshua says, he knew these people. He said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God's always got a people. There's a people right here in this group right here. I hope it's every one of you. Your mind is, you're made up. Well, Brother Bateman didn't shake my hand before I left. Well, some of you leave so fast, I can't. I've literally run out that side door to speak to people. Hey! I didn't get, I wanted that position. I didn't sing my song and stop. Listen, I'm going to quit. I've got to quit. Sister Ellen, come on back before you sit down. That'll help me. Stop being so easily offended. A lot of times, what was it, Brother Jethro says, the best way of not having a misunderstanding is having an understanding. I believe that's a quote that many of you have shared with me, and that's a great quote. Stop. So we don't have a misunderstanding. So we don't have, let's work it out. Let's pray through it. Let's meet. Let's talk. Because everything that happens, we're not going to understand. Can I tell you something on behalf of my wife and myself? We love everybody in here. Some of y'all worry us a little more than others, but we love you. It's like my children. Come on. I love every one of you, and there's nothing you can do, amen, that's going to stop me from loving you, and there's nothing you can do that's going to stop God from taking care of you and watching after you and loving on you and holding you and preserving you. He's able to keep you against that day. I know I preached too long now. I preached myself right out of the sermon, so I'm going to quit. Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 18. Many of us know this story, and I'm not going to preach it again. It's going to take too long. Remember those words that he said? The king of Israel is Ahab. Jezebel. You got two of the most wicked people on planet Earth that are ruling over God's inheritance. And there's a battle brewing between good and evil. The scene is set on Mount Carmel, you know it. And God's getting ready to show himself in a miraculous way. God's got a man whose mind is made up. Even though Elijah was very imperfect, we'll see him in just a few moments. In a couple of pages over, he's laying under a tree saying, God, kill me. I can't go on. But he stands before people and says, how long will you halt between two opinions? Now, they were talking about serving Baal, devil worship, versus serving the true God, the one and only God. We're faced very similar sometimes, not in a cry to the church to serve the devil or serve God, but it's just on this side. Make up your mind that God is God. Focus, purpose in your mind. If God is God, is this word really mean what it says? I believe every word of it. From the one man said, from the index to the maps in the back and all in between. So Elijah says, listen, I'm closing with this, Sister Ellen. You can come on, you can stand. I'm going to close. We're going to pray. You want to see one of the greatest examples of being double-minded in the Bible? You want to see it? Elijah says, how long will you halt between two opinions? You ready? The people answered him, not a word. Wait a minute. This is God's people. This is God's man. He's challenging them and saying, hey, y'all, choose. If God is God, choose God. Serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. And the people answered, not a word. That is one of the most classic examples of being double-minded. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Come on tonight. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I've got my mind made up to serve the Lord.